Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, 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 my favorite audience. The best audience. No, it's not the only audience. Welcome back to another show of Mission Accepted Podcast. And if this is your first time here, welcome, welcome. You get an extra welcome. You are in for a real treat today. Okay, look, mission accepted. What does that mean? We all take on the mission in a certain part of our lives, right? It doesn't matter if you're a parent or you're an entrepreneur, or even if you take on, you know, if you work for someone else, if you're project-based, if you're into sport, whatever it is, when there's something that you do that kind of, I won't say engulfs you, but inspires you and motivates you at times where you may not necessarily feel inspired or motivated, you've probably on some level taken on the mission. And the beautiful thing about taking on the mission as an entrepreneur, a creative, you know, anyone that's self-starting per se, is that the mission changes. And even though we don't sometimes think that we have choice during that mission where it changes and it pivots, my God, can we hear that word one more time? And things morph. We do though. We probably do it daily on a very, very subtle level. But when we take on a project, when we expand, when we build, when we make decisions, when we continue the journey, right? Which is perfect, a perfect lead in to talk to Anita today because she's all about journey. It's about taking it on. And so there's some great gemstones on how to take it on with so much more ease, how to take it on with so much more desire. Sometimes we hit places in our mission where we don't know whether to go left or go right. And that is kind of the journey within. And so I'm super excited because really our guest today, her name is Anita Adams. We've become very good friends. And I can tell you this woman is about taking the journey within. She's one of those duo entrepreneurs that is out there changing world, does her inner work and inspires other people to do their inner work. Because many times when we hit those roads, we need to really go in. That's why we go into counsel. You know, we go into counsel with ourselves. We go into counsel with our coaches, our trainers, our colleagues, our friends, to really make internal decisions to allow us to continue in this, honestly, mission of life. So I'm very excited to introduce Anita. So please welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Deb. Wow, I feel so seen and understood by you. Oh, wonderful. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, Anita, not everybody knows you to the depth that I do. And they're probably thinking, what? Journey within? For some people, old hat, done it for 10, 20, 30 years. I know exactly what you mean. I meet myself in meditation daily, weekly, monthly. For right. other people, it's really a new concept. And considering that our show spends at least a week of the month talking about the different generations that are now embarking on taking their missions, those, you know, 10, 12, 15, 17, 18, 20 year olds. And I've been spending a lot of time with that generation lately, really embarking. And I can tell you from someone who has an 18 year old son within business. Now he's been raised by me, you know, my nickname's Professional Hippie. You know, 2 years old, he used to walk around my massage studio and blow out the candles after the clients left and play with my tinctures. He's 18. He would never admit to that today. And when we have to make decisions about his business, the last thing he wants me to tell him to do is go meditate, right? So tell us about the journey within a little bit and maybe how you embarked on yours. And I'm super excited to get to one of your retreats this summer.
Awesome. I can't wait to have you at one of my retreats. It is a lot of fun. Meditating is not the only way to go in, or there's, let me put it another way. There's all sorts of different ways to meditate. And it's, when you think of the word meditation, we often think of, you know, sitting straight up with our back, you know, straight and our hands in our lap and saying om or whatever, trying to empty our mind. And that, that has never been so easy for me. And it has become easier over the years as I've developed other ways to go in. My way in is on a trail through the forest. That is the journey inward for me. I feel like that's a path to an enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And for me, it really is walking in nature. And that's where I can quiet the monkey mind, you know, like there's this chatter that's constantly going on all the time. When I step into nature, I step into my highest self because I get really present with my environment. And it just really drops me in my body. And in doing that, I'm able to hear. I'm able to hear the whispers of my soul. And when I lean in and listen to those whispers, wow, there's some magic that really happens. And it's it just gives me, you know, what I call angel bumps all over even talking about it, because it's my truth and it's the truth for so many people. You know, when you just quiet the monkey brain and learn to listen to that soul voice, so much can happen in beautiful ways for your life. And then we can lean into the mission, we can lean into our calling with more confidence, even if it takes a while. You know, even, you know, I have mm-hmm. to tell you, with my retreats, it was, I guess, about a year ago, I was in walking through nature and just sort of tuning in, you know, like, so what's mine to do? And I have this beautiful little prayer that I say when I go for my walk, and it's help me to see what is mine to see, understand what is mine to do, and have the courage to do it. And I often have to repeat that last line over and over again to have the courage to do it. Please have, let me have the courage to do it. And I got this bubbling up of teach people how to listen to their inner wisdom, their soul voice. And I'm like, what? that's not mine to do. No, I'm not a guru. That's, you know, that's something for a guru to do. You know, it's, that's not me. And I dismissed it and carried on my walk. And I do that every day. I go into the forest every single day. And the next day I was back in the forest and I got that bubbling up again. And again, I pushed it away and I kept pushing it away because it just felt too big and scary for me to do. And just, who am I to do something like that? You know, it's just like, that's not mine to do. And it was scary. Like, the idea of doing it is scary. And I think you preference that when you are called to something, it often is really big and scary. And I think it's natural for us to go, whoa, you know? And so I was doing that. And then I had another experience this summer. My husband and I went on this epic kayaking trip, and it was 33 days paddling from Bowen Island up and beyond Desolation Sound. And it was something just the year before I would never have thought I would do. And to be in a single seat kayak and paddle myself, be the power behind, you know, this drive to go up. Never thought I would do that. In fact, I even said I would never do that. And here we are, it's about 20 days into this journey. And it's just so flat, calm. The water is just like glass. It's got this almost monochromatic look with the sky as the two blend in. There's nobody anywhere. We're just maybe 10 meters off the coast of Cortez Island. And it's just stunningly gorgeous and really quiet. And I felt so connected to my environment. Again, I was having one of those, you know, moments, just being so deeply present to my environment and feeling God's presence, the universe all around me. And I heard this bubbling up of, it's time. And I'm like, yeah, it's time. And I became really aware of how I was able to find the courage to get my not so skinny butt into the single seat kayak and paddle up the coast. We traveled over 300 kilometers up the coast. And I'm like, if I can do that, and where last year I'm like, there's no freaking way I would do something like that. But if I can learn and find the courage to, you know, baby steps. It started with me just getting in a single seat boat and doing little outings, like an hour or two outings from my place. And that over time, the courage and the confidence grew. And it's, I feel that's the same with when we have a calling for something. You know, you don't have to jump in and be doing like this mountainous thing. You just have to take that first step. And then you can start leaning into it more and more, and the confidence grows. And I feel like that's what happened with me. And with hearing that it's time and realizing, yeah, look what I can do. I can do more than I've ever given myself credit to do. Yeah, I can teach people how to tap into their inner wisdom and listen to that soul voice. And that was the beginning of doing my retreats, which is all about connecting with nature, connecting with our higher self, so we can open up the heart and hear that soul voice. And that was the beginning of doing the podcast. That was my another way for me to teach people. And I'm now currently writing a book. It's like, okay, I am leaning in.
I think that's, thank you so much. It was almost like you took us on a little journey as you were talking. I could see the glass on the water, and thank you for that. And I think what I really got from that, and I can understand because I've had my own lean in moments. I've had my own jump off the cliff moments. I literally was in bed this morning texting a colleague about a planner that I'm creating. And honestly, I'm like, I don't know how one can be so excited about a planner. I mean, I've always been a paper girl, but I'm like, how could I be at 7 a.m. so excited talking about, you know, something that really came to me as a, and sometimes we don't know what the vehicles are. Like, you know, you know, I might not be able to understand someone's incredible excitement and joy and God-given spirit owning an excavation company, you know, or they might go, I can't, you what? You like, you produce a book. Oh, that's great. It's awesome. Yeah. Good for you. Thumbs up. You know, so people, we have our own, bubbling. And when it overflows, and it does take courage, I think, and before it takes courage, it takes acknowledgement. And that's where I think a lot of the times getting into that quiet space, it's just about removing the distractions to the acknowledgement of the voice, because sometimes the voice is tiny and small and it shows up as an inkling. And then when you don't hear the inkling, it hits you over the head one day and you're like, oh, wow, okay. And you'll hear yourself go, okay, as if you've heard it before, but you may not have acknowledged it. It really reminds me, Anita, of an incredible story. So my Ayurvedic teacher and the woman who I learned to do a lot of my healings with is from India. And she lived in the US, and Dr. Light Miller, and she's on the other side now. So maybe she's tapping into the podcast, but she's dialing in. I remember we were learning how to do shiradharas. And if you don't know what they are, they're very oil-based, messy massages, and they're incredible. And so I had rented a gym out downtown. It was the Bentall Center, and we were teaching a big class of people, and she had flown in. And sure enough, we went to go there on Sunday morning. And it's the Bentall Center downtown Vancouver. And we went there on Sunday morning, and we couldn't get into the gym because it wasn't open yet. And we just didn't figure that part of it out. And I remember she's like, okay, so we're downtown, almost Burrard in Georgia. And she's like, okay, we're all going to go outside and meditate. And everyone's like, and you know, we're all professional hippies, and we're all like used to meditating in very quiet spaces. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? There's cars buzzing by, and it's super noisy, and it's downtown. And it was one of the most powerful moments I remember her saying was that when she was learning meditation, she had her teacher take her to the noisiest, well, she didn't want to go, but he took her to the noisiest, distracted, not pleasant places in India, and said, if you can't learn how to meditate here, you'll never really learn how to be able to hear the voices within your own chaos.
Oh, and I thought, love that.
So yeah. Powerful, right? So there we are meditating with cars beeping and people racing off to go to church and da-da-da-da-da, and people walking on the street thinking, who are these ridiculous people? Sitting there all trying to meditate in amongst the chaos. But ever since she did that, I can literally when you talk about walking in the forest, I can literally walk through my city because I'm a, like my daughter says, Mom, you're a city girl with a country heart. I can walk through my city and encapsulate and go within and hear and have a conversation with that voice. But it is so important to just acknowledge that it's there. And so how incredible for us that you actually braved out. Now you have a life of an entrepreneur. You're a life of an entrepreneur, yet you have this very holistic practice. I know that you've got a couple of things going and you've done a few things, right? So as an entrepreneur, not just a person, but someone who's in business, how has it brought, you know, how has it been advantageous for you to have that part? And is there times in your busyness, because look, when we're building business or we're working for people in business or we're trying to make our first break as a singer or we're on stage or whatever, there's dynamics that happen outside of ourselves. And sometimes life is just super, super busy and lots of creativity. You know what it's like, cranking out a book and getting the podcast and doing all those linear external things. How do you merge those together? Or some suggestions, some tips for people?
Yeah, such a great question. And I would say the busier you are, the more important it is that you do this, that you make time to either just meditate or go for a walk. I have another little story I'll share with you. When it was a couple of years ago when the pandemic first hit, I was really, really stressed out. There was a lot going on. My other business at the time, I was running a film agency that I had birthed and been running for 18 years. And it was a lot of my identity was very much wrapped up in that business that I was super proud of, a national film organization. And funding was drastically hit because of COVID. And our plans, we were supposed to be moving to India for a year. And of course that got changed. And our lease for the home we were renting was about to expire and we had to find a new place to live. And now we're not going to India and all this stuff. There's just everything it seemed like was coming down on me. And my business coach at the time, she asked me, she's like, well, you know, what do you do when you get stressed? You know, like what are your coping mechanisms? I'm, well, going into the forest. That's, you know, like stepping into nature helps to calm me. And she laid a challenge on me. She's like, okay, I want you for 30 days, every single day to go for a walk in nature. And I'm like, what? What kind of business coach tells her client to go for a walk in nature? And I'm like, I've got so much to do. I can't do that. I've got to find my funding. I've got to find other ways to pivot my organization so it will survive. I've got, you know, I just had this massive list of things that I needed to do. And she's like, no, Anita, just go for a walk, find a way, and just get out. And I'm somebody that rises to challenges. You don't lay down a challenge, fine, you're not gonna do it. And so I did, and I haven't stopped since. So that was, you know, it was supposed to be a 30-day challenge and it's turned into a 2+ year lifestyle. And in that time of stepping away from the busyness, I was able to find clarity on next steps. When we get so busy with what we're doing, we lose focus and mm-hmm. we are uncertain of how to move forward. What's the best step to take to have the greatest results? But when you can step back from that, be it, you know, meditation or walk in nature or whatever, or painting, or I've got a friend, she likes to paint rocks. She does mandala dots on rocks and it just gets her out of that headspace mm-hmm. present in her body and clarity comes. So the busier you are, you need to block out time for yourself to go in and was it the Dalai Lama? There's a famous quote and I'm going to get it wrong, but I think it was the Dalai Lama and there was a big issue that he was asked to address and he usually meditates something like 2 hours a day. And he's like, oh, this is big. I need 6 hours to meditate.
You know? Well, I think the message there is something that I share with people. I mean, as you know, I had a private health studio and worked on tens of thousands of people. And here, when people said, when should I come back? And I said, where are you at? Instead of come back every week, come back every 3 days, come back every 3 weeks, what can you financially afford? I'm like, where are you at? I think once you start to gauge yourself, I'm like, for me, I'm a 2.5 weeker. It's kind of like knowing your limit with drinks. And this is going to sound really ridiculous, but I know for me, I can't go past 4.5 drinks of tequila. That's not a good place. Tequila, okay. It's just not good. They're like, what's your number? My number's 4.5. 4.5, I still got it. I'm enjoying my evening.
Tequila's pretty potent.
No one's enjoying my evening. So for me, it's like the same thing in relationship to, for me, I'm a 2.5 weeker. And what that means is my body needs to go receive treatment. My body needs to go receive a massage, a chiropractic, a reflexology, whatever it is, because that's where my body is vibrating at. And so I need to, you know, I could probably go every week if I, you know, lately with all the projects, but so knowing your number, I used to tell people the more stressed you are, the more you got to up your game, because the more you're not going to think that you can. And if you can, I always say to people, if you can stretch, like if you had a really important meeting and it was going to close a deal for you, would you stay up an extra hour this week? Yes, you would. Go get a massage, come back and see us, you know? So I always say it's a number that's relational. And then like that 2.5 week for me, that's my preventative number. That's the number that keeps me cool without getting out of balance. And it, when things start to really get heated up, then you need to kind of move that 2.5 weeks closer to home. So whether it's meditation or journaling or, you know, walking in nature or what have you, I think it's a relational number. That's how I came to understand it.
And I think you're hitting on something really important there, and that's the awareness piece about what you know and understand with yourself. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't know themselves enough to know what they need. You know, so you have to start there in assessing, you know, what is it that I really need? And that's part of the journey, that inward looking journey.
I think it also, we need to take the label off of, I'm going to go pamper myself. No, you're going to go feed yourself. And if we look at it as many other cultures do, you know, like I used to teach infant massage, right? And in certain cultures, when a baby's born, you know, massaging the baby and the community coming in, it's all very different. Self-care is very different in different cultures. And I think that in the culture that I was raised and the culture that I'm living, that pampering and, something extra and do something special for yourself is considered a lot more of the self-care, where really self-care should be looked at like apples and rice and feeding and clothing. It really is a necessity. And even we talk about personal development in business, right? Oh, in business, you need personal development. And most of the time we will go to personal development is either a course, a workshop, a seminar, a book, a training. We don't look at it like massage, nature, right, kayaking, rebirthing, whatever right. It is, right?
It seems more labeled like self-indulgent almost, you know, like
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead and so your soul is like shriveling up and going, yeah, help me. Okay. So I think so there we go. So look, retreats. Many people have been on them. Many people haven't. Some people think that they're, you know, 3 weeks in Bali. Some people think they're 3 days. When people hear retreat, they hear expense, right? They can hear, oh, I don't know, retreat is again, kind of like what we just talked about. What's the whole idea around a retreat? What happens on retreats? Why is it that people come home feeling more connected to themselves and can actually make decisions without having to call six of their friends?
I believe it's about unplugging from the craziness, you know, that's what a retreat is really about. It's stepping away from that daily grind and getting out of the monkey mind and into the body. And so there's all sorts of different ways to do that. And each retreat is different. And, you know, they don't have to be, a retreat doesn't have to be, you know, a week, it doesn't have to be a weekend. It doesn't even have to be a day. It could be a couple hours. I'm doing day retreats now as well as weekend retreats, and the day retreats, you can get so much out of just stepping away from your, you know, the regular routine, connecting with nature, doing some movement to get out of your head and into your body, and just breathe in the environment that you're in and be reminded, it's, you know, reminded how to breathe sometimes, you know, like just take a couple deep breaths and get present with your environment.
And these are things that it's really funny when people, particularly when you're in the build of your business or when you're in the build of a project, or you've got, you know, young ones all around and you're in the build of your family or in the build, you know, in the build, or in the training stage or what have you, it's hard to remember that I've studied top performers in all areas, specifically business, for a very long time. And it is a critical piece. Mm-hmm. It is a critical piece of top performance. It's a critical piece of efficiency. It's a critical piece of lowering anxiety. It's a critical piece of thought provoking, making the right decisions. Is actually incorporating something in your life where there is retreat, where there is taking back in. And honestly, from someone who's done both, I've been the person helping someone in that retreat type of way, or taking care of themselves, and someone who's been in receivership. Even for me, even though I can do it for myself, it's so much nicer. There's a next level sense of letting go of control when you just go show up at somebody else's. You're like,
let them take charge. Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to going to yours and doing nothing, saying nothing, teaching nobody.
Yeah. Right? There's something beautiful about that. You know, it's just, you don't have the responsibility to figure out what you need to eat, you know, and that, where should we go for a walk? What kind of movement should I do? Just follow along and surrender. I think we need to learn how to surrender more. And this is a good opportunity to surrender to just the moments.
Absolutely. So tell us, you mentioned that you've got this book. There's a lot of people that are venturing into the world of authorship, whether it's collaborative books, whether it's a solo book. You're hearing a lot of, I think that was one of the experiences that came out of this interesting experience that we've all had for the last couple of years, is people got to know themselves a little. And they want to put that down to paper. It's time. You know, it's funny how you said you heard the words, it's time. And that was the exact same words I heard when I was walking across the bridge. That's now turned into this fundraiser for music. It was like screaming, it's time. So I think a lot of people have had that it's time moment, whether you heard it like we did, or whether it's a voice inside. So what's the book about?
Everything we're talking about, Deb, it's all about tapping into and leaning into hearing that soul voice, developing the confidence to move forward with the direction that soul voice is guiding you on. It's about falling in love with yourself, you know, because you have to love yourself deeply to be able to trust what's bubbling up from within. So that's a really big piece. And that was a big part of my journey. There was a lot of was a lack of self-love for a big portion of my life. So finding self-love, I think a lot of people need to be reminded how to love themselves. And again, I found that deep love for myself by falling in love with nature. You can't love nature and not recognize how we are interwoven in the fabric of nature. When you recognize that we are so connected to nature, that we are one with nature, and if you really deeply love nature, you start to really deeply love yourself. And it's interesting how that is so tightly connected. And so I want to teach that about that in my book and share my personal experiences of the pain, the challenges that came with that. There was a time my relationship, my marriage just about fell apart. And it was because I wasn't listening to the voice that was trying to guide me. I was being directed by my need for validation and recognition and seeking those titles and that society defined success. And so I'm sharing all those stories and more and guiding people on the path to find their highest self, tap into that inner wisdom and their highest self.
Wow. So it sounds like, I mean, you were sharing earlier that you were one of the many that had a bit of a wake-up call in relationship to things that were going on due to the pandemic, either career-wise or financial or family dynamics or what have you. And you spent a lot of time in this career. So now that it sounds like you've kind of rebuilt yourself or expanded yourself. So just to answer the questions that people are wondering, like, did you ever end up tapping back into that industry? Where did that go for you?
One of my walks in nature, my soul voice that came up directed me to close my business. And again, my reaction initially was, no, what? No. And then that voice just kept coming up again, close your business. And I'm like, and I started listening. Is that what I want? Is that what I really want? And I realized It was. Not only did I want it now, I had actually wanted it for a couple of years, but I was so afraid to move away from that because my identity was so wrapped up in it. I was getting recognition across the country, flown into festivals around the world, and it was exciting. I loved that part of it, but I had lost the passion for the work itself, actually, and it was time. It was time. It really mm-hmm. was. And so my inner wisdom, my soul voice, the universe, however you want to call it, was guiding me to let go of that. And so I decided to wrap it up. It also told me to turn nomadic, which we did. So we got rid of all of our possessions and just decided to see where the universe was going to bring us next. And it was has been unbelievably amazing when I've let go of everything and leaned into listening to what this soul voice has guided me to do. My world has unfolded in more beautiful ways than I could have ever imagined. It did scare me though, you know, like the idea again of letting go of this business that I built for 18 years, you know, is that really what I want? And yeah. And I have no desire to tap back into the film industry at all.
Right.
I've kept some beautiful connections and relationships alive, but I have no desire to be in the film industry anymore.
It's funny. I forgot that part of you. I mean, we've met and we've chatted and we've had this great conversation. I don't know how long we've been talking and learning about each other. I think we probably met on social media more than likely, but I forgot that part of you. I'm going to have to, I think, and I was telling you about the walk across Dublin. We're going to have to, now people are telling me that I need to document it. It needs to be a documentary. And I'm like, who could I talk to? And here we are doing this podcast.
Connections. I got connections.
It was interesting. Yeah. I was at the Crazy Eights film release last weekend. And
Paul Armstrong's event. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Some of the topics that are coming to talk now, right? And one of the
by the way, I was one of the founding producers for Crazy Eights when it launched like 20 years ago. So that was
You know, it was interesting when I was there. I was like, because there was a woman that was retiring, and I was like, honestly, I was like, she kind of looks like Anita. It was very interesting because I forgot that connection. But Anita and Paul were handing over the reins, right? They were doing their thing. So. Anyways, very interesting, but there was a great film there about social media and, you know, how many likes we have and how that makes people feel. There's lots of, you know, anyways, I'm sure you know the festival. And for those that are listening, it's a festival where people have to make a movie in what? 8 hours?
No, 8 days. So
8 days, sorry. Yeah, 8 days.
So when it first started, when I was involved with it, it was 8 days, $800 and 800 feet of film, like actual film. And that's what you do. You go off and make a film. And it was pretty awesome. It's come a long way. The festival has come a long way since when I was involved with it 20 years ago.
It was great. I'm sure they miss you. Mm-hmm. So my dear, so tell us a little bit as we start to wrap up. I want to kind of divert. We've gone down a really beautiful, I don't want to say rabbit hole, but we've gone down into a really beautiful space. So tell me, I'm sure there's many, but as you made this change into this kind of new place, or even from your years of being an entrepreneur, whatever it included, whether it included film, I know that art is a big, you know, big thing for you. And now this beautiful space and how you're living, being an entrepreneur, what has been one of the most either incredible experiences or biggest surprise, or tell us about both.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
So about, I guess just over 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, I ended up getting into a network marketing business with mm-hmm. Rodan Fields Skincare, as you know. And I still do that. That's something that I love. And that was a surprise. It was a really big surprise. So, and I know you're in the network marketing arena as well. When mm-hmm. it was first presented to me, I'm like, no, there's no way I am going to be one of those people, a network marketer. And I just had these really preconceived ideas about network marketing, and I had some bad experiences with network marketers, and I just didn't want to be a part of that. But I was interested in the product, so I ended up buying some of the skincare and fell in love with the products. And I won't go down that story. My point in sharing it is that I learned so much from that time in the network marketing world that I am so deeply grateful for. And, you know, we sometimes make decisions based on preconceived ideas, and we don't make decisions based on what is good for us. And if I'll back up a little minute. When I really looked at the business, I have four core values. I have more than that, but there's four that help me make every decision I make, and it's freedom, family, fun, and flexibility. So if I need to make a big decision in my life, it's got to hit at least three of those four core values. And when I looked at the opportunity with Rodin and Fields, I'm like, it actually hits all those marks. And I'm like, okay, you know, let's give this a whirl. And it's been really amazing. And my point in sharing all that is, when we are clear and we understand who we are and what we really want, it's easier to make a decision, and we're not so influenced by all the, you know, everybody else's voice, not just our own, you know, chatter, but everybody else's opinions. And going down that path has opened me up to so many other amazing experiences and people. It helped me connect more to my spiritual side, because I was surrounded with people that were very spiritual. And I'm like, yeah, this is who I am. And I feel like that opportunity with a network marketing company landed in my lap to help direct me down the path that I'm on now, which I find is beautiful. So, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, I think we need to be open to receiving new ideas and opportunities without judgment, you know, and just sort of taking the time to really look at something and see if it resonates with you and your core, and what's important to you, instead of what society around you tells you is good or bad, or, you know, is worth pursuing. Yes. You got to know what's worth pursuing for yourself.
Well, I think that's the best thing about surprises, right? It's like, mm-hmm. It can be, you know, when I talk to people and I say, hey, what's your best surprise? They're like, oh my gosh, you know, if I hadn't been doing my business, I wouldn't have been standing here. And all of a sudden, the person that was standing beside me, who needed to borrow a pen at a workshop, ended up being this guy that introduced me to this big client and either took me in this different direction, or it was a celebrity that I always wanted to meet, or. I mean, I think that there's surprises. I think you said some key factors. And when I talk to entrepreneurs that have been doing this for a while, they're like, I never thought. You hear this quite often. I never thought. I liked paper. I always wanted to have a planner that worked for me when I was 20. Who knew that in my 50s, I was going to make one? Who would have thought? But I think there's something about, like you said, when you get an opportunity, not looking at it so linearly, but looking at it from, like you said, the core value without judgment and going, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Curious. Yeah.
Yeah. Being curious. Being curious as to why this is being presented to you at this time, right?
Totally. Yeah. Opportunities are presented to us all the time. And a lot of us just shut the door to those opportunities because we don't see them. We're not recognizing them as opportunities because we're not curious. So I guess maybe that's the big takeaway. Get curious about the things that present themselves in your life. And
decide. And as you continue to shift and change in your life, those things change and shift as well. Your energy changes. It gets more clear. When you get more clear, like you said, you are going to align and track people that are all along those lines. And you will know fairly quickly. You'll know fairly quickly. Okay. So I want you to be able to share with the audience what it is you're doing, how they can connect with you. You know, they're like, you know, man, I want to get that book, or hey, I used to be in film. I want to connect with this woman. I can't believe she's changed her life. I would love to join one of your retreats or whatever. Or they just have a gut feeling they need to get to know you better. How can people reach you?
Thanks for asking, Deb. Best way is to go to my website, I suppose, and that's joyfulinspiredliving.com. And you can email me at anita@joyfulinspiredliving.com. And I'm on all the social platforms, or most of them, you know, Facebook, Instagram. You just search for me and I'm there, and love to connect with your community.
Awesome. Well, also, it'll be in the show notes. And before I ask, let's just go right into it. So I have a final question for you. It's got nothing to do with what we do for a living. It's got nothing to do with being an entrepreneur. just got to do with you. Now that you've had this nomad lifestyle, this isn't going to be so shocking or scary for you. Other people are like, well, what do you mean? Don't ask me that question. So I am very music fueled. We all know that. And more so in the next 15 months than probably one may should be. But sorry, people, I'm talking about that walk that I'm going to go across. Anita, you're going to have to follow the journey. You have the word journey. Okay, so that aside, you're packing. You're going to a desert island, just you and you. You're going for a lifelong retreat. You only get to take one album with you. What album would you take?
Oh my gosh.
That's usually the comment. I know they're like, only one? Can it be a collective? Can I do a playlist? No, it's one album that you couldn't imagine never not listening to for the rest of your days.
Probably one of the Dire Straits albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just brings back such beautiful floods of memories with, the transformational times in my life and the freedom, times of freedom, you know, pure. Well, not that I don't have freedom now. I totally have more freedom now, but I was on the quest for it, you know?
Yeah.
Dire Straits. There's something about Dire Straits that just hits me to the core.
That's awesome. They're great.
Yeah.
They're great. Do you have a particular song that pops into your head? Or
oh my gosh, no.
No. Okay. You're a Dire Straits girl. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And as always, I know we'll be connected, and you guys can also tap into Anita has a podcast as well, which is incredible. I've had the pleasure of being on the show. It's a very beautiful experience. You get to hear more of what I think we talked about surrender.
Yes,
so you get to, we get to hear more about holistic living and being. Thank you so much for dialing in, tapping in, watching, listening. Like I said, you guys are the best audience ever. We're loving the comments and the feedback. Please share this episode. If you haven't hit the red button and subscribe, please subscribe. And if you feel like you have something that you want to share, if you are in one of those categories of entrepreneur or creative or a singer or a podcast host or radio host, as long as you are self-funding and you are on a mission, we want to hear from you. And so does our audience. So please just tap in and reach out to us. And until then, have an amazing day. Bye for now.